issues affecting Asia's animals and the stories of the people working on their behalf. We'll be taking you on a tour of what's been happening lately in the animal protection space around Asia, and also bringing you updates from our huge network of animal protection organizations and our many working groups. Welcome to the Asia for Animals podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another podcast episode from Asia for Animals Coalitions. I'm Rob Anguyen, lead coordinator of the policy coalitions at Asia for Animals. In today's episodes for the AFA Policies Coalitions, we delve into the world of animal justice with World Animal Justice, or WAJ for short. World Animal Justice is a unique group of international animal law experts working to end animal crimes and defend animal rights. World Animal Justice is paving the way for crimes against animality to be recognized and ultimately forbidden in international law, such as crimes against humanity are already and crimes against environment are progressing in this sense. And joining us today is Dr. Sabine Brouse, founder and director of World Animal Justice. Dr. Sabine Brouse is a French lawyer dedicated to advancing animal protection law worldwide, both in theory and in practice. In the last 15 years, she co-founded and co-directed the Global Animal Law Projects and worked as a legal advisor for various animal protection organizations, such as the well-known World Federation for Animals, the Eurogroup for Animals, and Compassion in World Farming. In 2023, she founded the NGO called World Animal Justice. Sabine, welcome to the podcast and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Nokain. I'm so glad to be here with you today. And thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about world animal justice and our key projects to advance animal protection in the law globally, and especially with our new project in Asia.
Sabine, we're very excited to learn about the work of World Animal Justice. I think that World Animal Justice is trying to address one of the most important gaps in international law concerning animals. It will be great if our audience can learn more about your organizations. Could you tell us more about World Animal Justice and its aim?
Sure. Well, World Animal Justice is first a vision. It reflects the vision we all share as animal advocates to build a new world where justice exists to protect every living and sentient being, for humans and non-human animals alike. World Animal Justice stands that animals have the fundamental interests or rights to live, to be free, and to be well treated. These fundamental rights should be legally recognized and globally protected. World Animal Justice is also a global movement, as it sets the foundations of a paradigm shift. Indeed, the economic and anthropocentric paradigm of human business as usual, which remains globally dominant in the international scene, should change. It should urgently be replaced by a new paradigm protecting life. Why? Well, because this ancient paradigm showed its tremendous limits to not protect animals as they should be protected worldwide. And it also demonstrated that since animals remain the missing piece of the global puzzle, us humans and our environment cannot be protected either. And we are all in danger, animals, humans, and our planet. This is why the new paradigm should include the protection of animal beings, whose protection is still almost totally absent from the international rules of the world game. And our humanity cannot continue to perpetrate crimes against animals so massively every day and everywhere in the world. International law should urgently stop this plague. A plague such as factory farming for terrestrial and aquatic animals, the overexploitation of domestic and wild animals, and all of these crimes that are totally unsustainable. And this system is responsible for human and environmental plagues too, such as global health issues, climate change, biodiversity loss, pollution, deforestation, and much more. But even if we can draw many links between crimes against animals, crimes against humans, and crimes against our environment, animal suffering, this huge animal suffering in itself is worthy of global consideration and should be taken very seriously by the law. The massive crimes against animality that are still ongoing for billions of animals worldwide should be stopped. This is our collective responsibility to act in this sense, not only for the animals, but also for us, if we want to be considered as truly humane.
Thank you, Sabine. The role of world animal justice is truly pivotal in our global efforts to protect animals, and it's heartening to learn about World Animal Justice Initiative for this cause. Furthermore, we're keen to understand the broader objectives of World Animal Justice to fulfill these missions. Could you provide more details on this?
Absolutely. The global final goal of World Animal Justice is, to end crimes against animality in international law. And how do we plan to get there? Well, World Animal Justice now has a team of exceptional international animal and criminal lawyers working on this question. The purpose of our expert group is to make proposals to best advance the notion of crimes against animality and to find the best ways to advocate for these crimes to become enshrined in international law instruments. This can be done in the current international criminal law system or in proposing an innovative approach through the adoption of a new international criminal law statute, for instance, and a new special court dedicated to judge and apply sanctions for crimes against animality. As the notion of crimes against animality is a brand new one, we need first to explain what it means and what it can entail. In order to define this notion, we are basing ourselves on the definition of the crimes against humanity that are defined under the Article 7 of the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. These crimes against humanity are the massive murders, sequestrations, tortures, deportations, sexual violences, etc. It is striking to realize that all these crimes can be applied to what animals are subjected to in a legal manner when no law or ban exists to protect them.
Could you explain a bit more on the types of crimes you are thinking of and the strategy behind it?
Yes. So for the list of crimes against animality, we identified three types of crimes that range from the most forbidden type of cruelty towards animals that are still legal in some countries, to some acts of institutionalized tortures, and finally to the international crimes resulting from the overexploitation and massive killing of billions of animals worldwide. Concerning our strategy, we plan to adopt a step-by-step incremental criminalization. So in the short term, we plan to ask for the most egregious and intentional acts of cruelty towards animals to be recognized as crimes against animality. Indeed, 2/3 of the world's countries have anti-cruelty laws, recognizing that being cruel against animals is wrong and should be banned. But some of the worst cruel acts towards animals are still legal or authorized in some countries. We can mention, for instance, bullfightings, zoophilia, shark finning, etc. These crimes are not only against animals, but against our human dignity too. For their extreme and obscene character, we plan to obtain an international consensus to globally stop these practices in the few countries where they remain authorized. In the midterm, we ask to ban all the institutionalized animal tortures, like the live mutilation practiced in farming, for instance, the piglets castrations, disowning cows, the baking chickens and hens, and other painful methods, such as the force feeding of ducks and geese for foie gras, or the collection of bile from live bears in cages. And we can think of other sectors, like the everyday vivisections of laboratory animals. All these tortures should be globally ended, knowing that existing alternatives can be already used and developed in order to avoid these horrors to be perpetrated endlessly. Finally, in the longer term, all the crimes that fall under the definition of crimes against humanity and which can be applied to animals should be internationally forbidden as crimes against animality. These are the massive killings of domestic and wild animals, all forms of tortures, sequestration or confining animals in cages, the physical and sexual violences against animals, the deportation, or we can say the long transportation of animals in terrible condition, and etc. All these should be considered seriously and ultimately stopped nationally and internationally. And why not just nationally? Well, because we know that the trade of animals, either domestic or wild animals or their products, is globalized. And also because the human-induced animal suffering is a global issue. In every country in the world, it happens. And even taking into account the existing disparities between countries with more or less protective ones, no country is a perfect model of protection for animals. And all countries allow more or less crimes against animals to legally happen.
Thank you very much, Sabine, for a very detailed explanation of world animal justice activities. It's clear that human dedication is crucial for bringing these missions to fruition. And we're intrigued by the team driving this effort and would love to learn more about your colleagues who are fervently working towards the recognitions and prohibitions of crimes against animals in international law. Could you share more about them and your partners?
Yeah, sure. Well, our expert group is composed of truly dedicated and brilliant lawyers who are academics, practitioners, and some working for animal NGOs. We are now 20 international animal and criminal lawyers from the five continents. We have the chance to have Professor Deborah Tsao working at the Griffith University in Australia as honorary expert on board. And she's actually the first academic who has set the need for an international law answer in front of crimes against animals. And I would love to mention all and each of these amazing experts for the outstanding work they are doing for animals. And they are all listed on our expert group page on our website at worldanimaljustice.org. As for our partnering NGOs, we have the chance to be supported by wonderful animal organizations, and it's a real honor for us to partner with the Asia for Animals Coalition.
Wow, thank you, Sabine. It's an honor for us as well, and truly an impressive team you have there. Now, shifting our focus towards Asia, considering many of our Asia for Animals members are based in these regions, how do you envision world animal justice making impactful contributions within the Asian context?
Well, thank you for asking. Indeed, I have just said that world animal justice's final goal is to end crimes against animality in international law. But we also plan to contribute to stop these crimes nationally at countries level and regionally, like in the Asian context. In this sense, certain criminal acts against animals can be specific to some countries or region. In Asia, for instance, we know that certain countries now have anti-cruelty laws for companion animals or pro-welfare laws for exploited animals, but not in all Asian countries. And same for the cruel practices that may or may not be authorized depending on the countries concerned. So for instance, the elephant's abuse and mistreatment for tourism the dog and cat meat, bear bile farms, the shark finning and specific wildlife trade may be subjected to national bans, but they are still legal in some countries in Asia. That's why we decided to launch a new project aimed at gathering the existing laws and bans in force in the Asia-Pacific countries. And this project is called the Asia-Pacific Animal Law Overview, or APLO, that World Animal Justice Task Force has the chance to collaborate with you and the Asia for Animals Coalition.
That's truly fascinating, Sabine, and it's inspiring to hear how World Animal Justice is positioning itself to make significant strides in Asia. The work you're doing not only showcases your commitment, but also lights the way for future endeavors in animal justice on the continent. Thank you also for mentioning the Asia-Pacific Animal Law Overview projects that you have kindly invited us to collaborate with. Could you dive a bit deeper into what APLO entails?
Sure. Well, this project consists in building a database of animal laws, especially focusing on anti-cruelty provisions and specific bans for all categories of animals, companion, farm, lab, wild, captive, working animals, or used in entertainments, in the countries of the Asian region, with Australia and New Zealand in the Pacific region first. Because we will go with phases in dividing the Asian region in subregions and first have an overview of the existing laws to know better what is forbidden to do against animals and where. We want the final interface of this database to be interactive and user-friendly for the users to easily find the laws for each categories of animals and the country's specific bans. This database or APLO inventories only the laws that are currently in force, leaving aside the past laws or projects that are still in development, in order for animal advocates to refer to the law texts and provisions that are currently to be enforced in each relevant country. On this subject, I need to raise that the law enforcement is a huge common issue shared by all countries in the world, also at supranational level, especially when referring to animal protection. But if we can have enough support for this first phase with APLO, we may consider a new phase focusing more on the implementation of these laws. Because it is important not only to know what stringent rules exist, but how they are implemented and how to better enforce the existing animal protection laws. In particular, when we are looking at the criminal laws, the existing bans need to be systematically controlled and sanctioned in a dissuasive manner in order to be efficiently protecting animals.
Absolutely, Sabine. Your explanation about APLO has been incredibly insightful. Understanding how this project aims to centralize and make laws related to animal protection in Asia accessible opens up numerous possibilities for advocacy and legal actions. And given APLO's potential as a comprehensive resource, I'm curious about the collaborative aspect of the projects. In your view, how can other organizations and individuals contribute to or benefit from APLO? Are there specific areas within APLO that are in need of more contributions or attention?
Yes, sure. Well, animal lawyers in the Asia-Pacific region will be of tremendous help to gather the proper animal law texts and bans in force. In this sense, we have the chance and honor to collaborate on this project with a key animal law expert in Asia, knowing Lu Shegei and her great partnering organization, the Institute of Animal Law of Asia, who did an impressive work concerning these existing Asian animal laws in the past years. And at the World Animal Justice, our key coordinator for Southern Asia is Dulki Sikawaka from Sri Lanka. And other key expert of World Animal Justice is Altamush Said from Pakistan. And we have Professor Deborah Tsao, who is a key expert in Chinese animal law and teaches animal law and ethics in Australia. We plan to contact other great animal law experts in the region, and the help of Asia for Animals members will be most welcome if they know key contacts in the Asia-Pacific countries or if they know where we can find the animal laws in force in these countries.
Thank you for expanding on the collaborative potentials within Apello, Sabine. It's clear that the synergy between organizations and the project can significantly amplify our collective impact on animal protection laws in Asia. Following your mentions of the Institute of Animal Laws of Asia and the call for organizations to assist in accessing legal texts and connecting with animal lawyers, I'm keen to explore the integrations and sharing of information. How does Apello plan to ensure that the data and resources collected are kept up to date and reflective of the latest legal advancements and changes? Additionally, is there a mechanism within Apello for sharing success stories of cases, studies that highlight the effective use of database in advocating for animal rights and reform?
Yes, you are totally right. We need to set this tremendously important mechanism in place. And we need support for this database tool to be set up first and then kept up to date and so reliable. As animal laws can be regularly changed with new amendments, replaced by new texts, or completed by new regulations, we need to have it frequently updated. And this is one of the main challenges of this kind of big animal law databases tool. In sum, we will need support not only to build the content and gather the law text in force, but also for the presentation in setting up an online tool and endlessly to develop it in time. And also, for instance, with case studies and keep it as accurate as possible to base our law advocacy on the current texts that are in force.
Sabine, your insights into the project's collaborations, mechanisms, and strategies for maintaining up-to-date resources are incredibly enlightening. It's encouraging to see such a structured approach towards evolving Apello into a dynamic and updated platform. I'm looking forward to the futures. I'm curious about how World Animal Justice envisions the long-term impact of the project on animal welfare legislations and advocacy across Asia. Additionally, how does the organization plan to measure the success of the project in terms of influence on policy changes, public awareness, and legal practices? Are there any specific milestones or indicators that you're aiming for?
Yes, well, to date, Apello is a newborn project and we envision it to become a major resource to provide the existing animal laws in force in the Asia-Pacific region. It has the potential to provide key information about the animal law texts, existing or absent, enforced or not, providing law protection like a general principle encouraging to better treat animals, or a more stringent and coercive protection, like a prohibition assorted with sanctions. And this tool will mainly help to draw comparison, analysis, and assess the different levels of protection for the different categories of animal species in the different countries, as well as identifying the strengths and weaknesses of animal laws in these countries, sub-region, and generally in the Asia-Pacific region. Finally, it will evidence the gaps to fill and some windows of opportunities for our animal advocacy in this region.
Sabine, this has been an incredibly enlightening discussion about Apello and the remarkable efforts where Animal Justice is making towards advancing animal protections and legal frameworks in Asia. Lastly, for our listeners who are eager to support or learn more about this initiative, where can they find more information or get involved?
Sure. Well, you can find more information on our website at worldanimaljustice.org. And if you want to get involved as an animal lawyer or animal rights advocate, as a supportive NGO, or if you're a student willing to contribute, you're most welcome to send us an email at contact@worldanimaljustice.org or via our contact form on our website too.
Thank you, Sabine. Your dedications and innovative approaches where animal justice is taking with projects like Apello or Crimes Against Animalities genuinely inspire hope for a more just and compassionate future for animals around the world. And to wrap up today's enlightening discussions, could you share one final thought or message with our listeners about the importance of collective actions in the fight to protect animals?
Yes, sure. Well, for me, the massive and avoidable crimes perpetrated for so long against animals should now belong to the past. The law should protect animals who are not only sentient beings, but also vulnerable victims. And the common ground of animal law should find its global echo. Animal welfare needs to be ensured, and all forms of cruelty need to be stopped. Finally, I want to say to people who are listening to us that every step you take to better protect animals is important. Sometimes we can feel useless in front of the gigantic machinery of animals' exploitation and suffering. But we are never useless, and no one is useless. No act is useless. No world is useless. Every animal life is important. And so we are. Every act, even small, is important. Together, in uniting our strengths, good ideas, and brave convictions to better protect animals, we will continue to build this edifice and make it grow. And one day, it will become the new path leading us to this world of animal justice.
Thank you very much, Sabine. Very inspiring words. And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this impactful conversations. We encourage you to visit World Animal Justice website at worldanimaljustice.org to stay informed about the incredible work and the advancements in animal welfare and legal protections. Don't forget to follow more episodes from the Asia for Animals Coalitions, especially if you're keen on policy advocacy. We have a lineup of engaging episodes coming in the next few months that you won't want to miss. Your support and engagement are crucial as we work together towards a more human world. Until next time, stay engaged, stay informed, and continue to be a voice for the voiceless. Thank you so much. And goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find everything you need to know about our work and connect with us at asiaforanimals.com. Tune in for the next episode. Asia for Animals Coalition, a united voice for Asia's animals.